B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
In the meantime, let's talk. Let's get to our continuing series and get to know him better. Well, we know this guy pretty well. And he's been in the area for a really long time analyzing baseball. And, of course, playing as a player, as a closer for your Fightin' Phillies. And the last time we talked to him, in Jimbo, Salisbury, where, you know, they're making that trek down to spring training, Dumb and Dumber, in the car, stopping, taking pictures, doing the whole kind of thing. He is, of course, the great Ricky Pitalico. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. Hello, Ricky.
What's up, guys? And now at home.
You know, so what are you doing, Rick? What's going on with you? The lack of baseball, how has that affected Ricky Pitalico right now?
I think it affects me just like anybody else. You know what the biggest thing, Mike, is, and I'm sure you felt this too. We knew back in 2001 that we were coming back. You know, mm-hmm. after the bombing, we knew we were coming back. Now you don't know. I mean, you guys are doing, I mean, you're doing a great job in there without sports to really talk about. I mean, you're taking subjects, you're running with them. I think that's great. But I mean, you know, you realize how much sports means to this city and how much sports means to this world when everything gets shut down like this. Because when you go home, and sooner or later, we're all going to run out of these shows on Netflix to watch. I think that's the bottom line. Sooner or later, you're going to run out of shows.
Yeah, I can't take any more replays either.
Yeah, I'm done with I am too. I mean, I'll watch certain things here and there, but, you know, you just don't get that feel, that adrenaline rush. And I think even in my job, obviously I've missed about a week of my job now, and it's just going to get worse. And you don't know if there's an end to it, which is the part that sucks.
Yeah, baseball's in your blood for a long time, and all of a sudden you got nothing. Shut down. You don't even know if it's going to come back this year, frankly. I'll ask you about it in a second. So, what's the physical reaction your body is having here? You're used to running and watching games and analyzing stuff, and, you know, this is your season.
Withdrawals. I'm serious. It's like having withdrawals. You sit here and you're craving something. That's the best way to put it. You're craving to see. Don't you almost want to wake up tomorrow morning and somebody say, and you turn on the news and they're talking about a vaccine. That's what I want to hear. I just want to wake up tomorrow morning, hear about the vaccine, and boom, everything's great. But that's not the case. The one thing that's got to be pointed out here is there are a lot of people dying. There's a lot of people that know people that have died. And, you know, your heart goes out for those people. I mean, we have jobs that are in sports, which is great. But there's a bigger picture that lies in front of us right now. And that's got to get taken care of before we move on to anything.
Yeah, there's no question about that. So let's try to look into the future here. Because, you know, the fans are conditioned that baseball's a long season. Eventually we're going to see baseball no matter when it starts. But, you know, we were just talking at Salisbury, and you know this as a pitcher. It's not easy to restart. And you're going to need weeks, and you're going to need innings and stretching out. And so spring training almost has to be 4 weeks. By the time that rolls around, when you start spring training, maybe you look up at September, what kind of season can you have at that point?
I'm not buying they'd go 4 weeks of spring training. What I think they would do is kind of give them more players on the roster. Wouldn't that make more sense to you? You know, if your starting pitchers are only conditioned in that 2-3 week period to go 4 or 5 innings, make sure they put on 2 or 3 more pitchers. I think that would make things a little bit more easier for the teams to kind of, you know, run through this process, because that's what it's going to be. This is unprecedented. Nobody knows exactly what's going to happen, but you can't go a month of spring training. Who knows if they're even going back? I don't think I would send the teams back to spring training. I think I would send them back to their homes, like the Phillies go to Philadelphia, let them work out. It's going to be good weather, hopefully, by the time that happens anyways. And you have them work out here. You have them play some inter-squad games, have them play against their AAA team, and then, I guess, just go at it from there. If you could get 60 games in, I think you could have a season. Anything less than that, I think you're starting to lose it a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with you on the extra players in the roster. But you know what that brings into play. It brings into play owners now paying major league salaries instead of minor league salaries, right?
Yeah.
So you know, I don't know how willing they would be to that. Do you see baseball, and this is a bastardization of baseball, going to maybe a 7-inning game just to get more games in?
And play a bunch of doubleheaders? That wouldn't surprise me. Let me put it this way, Mike. Doubleheaders in the minor leagues are not that bad, because you play 7 innings, and those games are over fairly. You'd be surprised how quickly a 7-inning game goes. I mean, if you have a starting pitcher in there, you're not changing pitchers a ton. And then all of a sudden, you know, you get to that seventh inning, game's over. And then you give them a half hour in between and have them play that second game. I think that would work.
I agree with you, but baseball is such an old institution, Ricky, that, you know, there are baseball people that would barf at the notion of going from 9 to 7.
Because of statistics.
Yeah, and it's got to be 9. You know, it's got to be a 3-6-9. You know,
but Mike, you and I know they've changed the game so much in the last, 8 years that mm-hmm. who cares at this point?
I agree with you. Who cares? It doesn't matter if they get more games in, if they shorten the season. That's the way it's just going to have to be. But I'm worried at this point that if you have to start a season in September, what's the point?
Like how there, many? There is no point. You have to if you're not going to get the season started by I would say August 1st, then why even bother?
Yeah. Now, do you think players would go for doubleheaders of 9 innings?
I think that's a lot. I mean, because how many are we talking? What, 10? More than that?
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's a lot to ask. But that also goes down to the point where you have to put more guys on the roster.
Yes, it does. But it also, you know, here's the big carrot. Well, you know, we're going to pay you more money. You play two 9-8 doubleheaders.
Are they going to be split doubleheaders?
You know, we're losing, baseball players losing enough money. They go, okay, well, if you play doubleheaders, you can make up more money that you're losing. You know, that always resonates with players.
Yeah, I just don't know how big that would go over. I think what they want is if they can get anywhere from 60 to 90 or even a little bit more than that, that type of season, and I think that's fine. Once you start hitting August, you're going to have to play some doubleheaders, and they may go longer into the season, and I like the idea of playing, like, the Championship Series and the World Series in, have one game in Florida, one in Arizona, American National.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Let me ask you about it, because you did spend some time in spring training, and all of a sudden you just abruptly stopped. So we're all making judgments on what they were, and you can't make a full judgment because there's still some issues to be decided, especially in the bullpen. But what did you see when you were down there with this team?
I think a team that's going to play baseball instead of playing on a computer, because that's really the way I looked at it the last couple of years. I looked at it as a computer game that was played on a baseball field. I want these guys to get back to general basics of baseball, and I think they're getting there. I think Joe Girardi changes the whole atmosphere in the clubhouse. And that to me is a statement in itself. And I think he gives them 4 wins himself just for the season. So I'm looking at this that we're going to see a team that knows what they're doing. And the baseball, we talked about the baseball IQ like 3 or 4 years ago. I think their baseball IQ is going to be much better. And they're going to have to start thinking for themselves rather than a piece of paper thing or a computer thinking for them.
So you think 4 more wins because he's a better strategical manager, because he has more of a feel for baseball rather than just relying on numbers?
Oh, 100%, at least 4.
All right, let me ask you a bit, because you played for a lot of managers. And did you start with Fergusi? Was he your first manager?
Fergusi was my first
manager. He was your first manager. What makes a good manager? Now, why was Fergusi a good manager for that team?
A good mix of discipline and being on your side. And I'm talking for everybody on that roster. There's got to be criticism at some point, because nobody's perfect during the year, right? I think mm-hmm. we all agree with that. A manager's got to be able to stand up to his players, but he's also got to let them go at some points during the season. Where I think, I mean, I played for Tony La Russa. A lot of people will say, oh, this guy's trying to reinvent the game all the time. But when you're on his team, it's a completely different story. You actually think he's a really good guy because he cares about his players.
That's the key. If you feel that you have the backing of your manager, it makes you more confident to play your game.
It does, but like I said, if I played on like Kapler's teams the last couple of years, I would have been so confused as to what's going on and what's real and what's fake. I want realism. How's that?
Okay. I see where you're going with that, because you can never figure out whether he was real or whether he was fabrication. Yeah. And a guy like Charlie Manuel or a guy like Fergusi, you knew where they were real.
100%, yes.
All right. Well, listen, man, you take care, and I assume your life is just like all of us. We sequester ourselves, and we don't go out except for maybe the grocery store. How are you passing the time?
I don't like the grocery stores right now. Man,
I don't either.
I said this last week. We were doing some shows for NBC Philly, but, I mean, it's you know, you go into the stores, nobody gives you 6 feet.
Yeah.
What are these people thinking? It's you go by a basketball court, there's the 5-on-5s going on. You know what? Figure it out, people. Figure out why we're in this mess. Get off the. If you're going to go to the basketball court, go by yourself. Don't let anybody touch your basketball. That kind of stuff. I mean, I could go off on this for a while. I'm sure you could too.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, man. Listen, great to talk to you. Thanks a lot, man.
All right, take it easy, Mike.
There he's Ricky Pitalico on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.